There is one who is mightier. He speaks, and darkness trembles. Not like the scribes, not like the teachers, but with authority. Be silent and come out of him. Spirits obey, demons flee. The unseen world responds, and the people ask, "What is this?" A new teaching with power. There is one who is mightier.
There have been several studies here recently about why people do what they do. Have you ever thought about that? Why do people respond in the way that they respond? Why do people make decisions in the way that we make decisions? And most every study condenses all of those reasons down to about five major categories. So I want to illustrate it this way. Let's say you're standing with someone, and that person you are standing with directs you to stand over there. All right, now what is going to motivate you to leave where you are standing to go stand over there? Now, there are a number of reasons why you might do that. Five main reasons. Number one, the person who is giving you the instruction might have authority to mandate it. And he says, go stand over there. Tone of voice is a little bit different. He has that level of authority to command you to do that. And a second reason why someone might respond to someone who is encouraging them to do something would be some incentive. They're going to offer you something. They're going to give you a reason to compel you to do what they want you to do. Maybe it's enticement, maybe it's something financial, but they have a reason that will entice you to do that. Number three, they might convince you by some kind of consequences. If you don't go stand over there, something negative is going to happen. Some kind of negative consequence is going to take place if you don't leave where you are or go stand over there. Number four, they might persuade you to go stand over there if the person who is saying it to you is someone you trust and they have influence over your life. They give you compelling reasons why it is better for you to stand over there than it is for you to stand right here. Or number five, you so love the person who is speaking to you, and they ask you, go stand over there, and you respond. Those five reasons are really the five primary reasons why decisions are made. It could be position, it could be reward, it could be consequence, it could be influence, or it could be relationship. And what we're going to see in Mark chapter 1, when Jesus came on the scene, he was unlike any other compelling force mankind had ever seen. And we do what he said because he said it. And there's an authority in the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ that commands and demands a response. Continuing our series through the Gospel of Mark, a series that I've entitled Mightier, focusing on Jesus, who Jesus is, this one who is mightier. And I want you to see with me in the very first public message Jesus ever declared, the authority behind his words because he said it. If you have your Bible, turn to Mark chapter 1. And I want you to begin with me in Mark 1, beginning in verse 25. The Bible says, they went to Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath, Jesus entered the synagogue and began to teach. They were amazed at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one having authority, not as their scribes. Just then, there was a man in the synagogue with an unclean spirit. And he cried out, saying, what business do you have with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, be quiet, come out of him. And after throwing him into convulsions and crying out with a loud voice, the unclean spirit came out of him. And they were all amazed. So they debated among themselves, saying, "What is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even unclean spirits, and they obey him." And immediately the news of him spread everywhere into all the surrounding region of Galilee. Now, to understand this passage, you need to look at the two occasions of the word authority. You see it in verse 22, and you see it again in verse 27. Both of them are preceded by a word that means amazement. They were amazed by his authority. They were amazed at the authority of his words. They were amazed at the authority of his works. There was something unique about this man when he spoke. It has a new kind of teaching, a new kind of living, and somehow in the way that he expressed what he had to say, they realized it was something different from what they had ever seen. So far, in our study through the Gospel of Mark, we've been introduced to this one who has come, who is mightier. We've seen him baptized in the Jordan. We've seen him call evil on notice in the wilderness. We've seen him as he has chosen the first four of his what will be 12 disciples. And now we see him in worship. And beginning in verse 21, there are a series of events that seem to take place all on the same day. Now, I want you to look with me, just kind of follow along in your copy of God's Word. Look in verse 21. They went to Capernaum and immediately were in the synagogue on the Sabbath. Now look down at verse 29. Immediately after they left the synagogue, they went to the house of Simon and Andrew. Now look down at verse 32. Now when evening came, when the sun had set, so it's an evening, and then on verse 35, now it was early in the next morning. So you've got three back-to-back events that seem to take place all on the same day, maybe three different parts of that very same day. And we look today at the first one, and Mark gives us the setting. All of these events happened on the same day, and that day happened to be Sabbath. On that particular Sabbath day, Jesus was in Capernaum. Capernaum was on the north, a little bit northwest part of the Sea of Galilee, where Jesus spent a large part of his ministry. He's in Capernaum. He is at the synagogue on the Sabbath. So, Jesus, on the Sabbath, the day of worship, went to church. Luke tells us in Luke chapter 4, Jesus went to the synagogue as was his custom. And Luke reminds us that Jesus didn't skip church. He was not there because he liked to listen to those particular rabbis. He was there to worship his Father. And on this particular day, when Jesus went to the synagogue in Capernaum, they followed what was a custom. It was normal in that day when a guest speaker would come, you would invite him to speak. So Jesus walks into the synagogue, and they invited him to speak. And as soon as Jesus began to speak, the Bible tells us they were amazed at the authority of his word. Something about what Jesus said or how Jesus said it so caught their attention. Something different from what they had seen or what they had heard before. Instantly, it stood out from every other teaching. They've never heard someone teach like this before. Ancient rabbis had a custom, a tradition. Typically, when you'd go to the synagogue, the rabbi would stand up and speak, generally quoting other rabbis. They would say, "This rabbi said this, this rabbi said this, this rabbi said this," and so their entire message was sort of a recitation of different things that other rabbis said. Someone once said they were addicted to the quotation mark. They like to quote people, they like to say what other people said. But on that day, Jesus came to the synagogue, and they heard something they've never heard before. Jesus spoke with authority. And they're amazed, they're shocked, they're blown away by what Jesus had to say. They've never heard this kind of speak before. Look what the text says. They probably were impressed by his eloquence. They probably enjoyed his content. They probably even were moved by his charisma. But that's not what the text says. The Bible says they were amazed by his authority. The authority of his words. When Jesus spoke, he spoke different than what they had ever seen before. And to make it even more compelling, the text says, not like their scribes, not like their normal Bible teachers, not like their normal rabbis. He spoke a different kind of word with a different kind of message. It was a new teaching with authority. John says in John 7, verse 45, that the scribes sent some officials to go and bring Jesus back to them. And here's what John says. The officials came to the chief priests and the Pharisees, and they said to them, "Why did you not bring him?" And the officials answered and said, "Never has a man spoke in this way before. We've never heard anyone speak like that." And the Bible says, as Jesus opened his mouth and began to speak, they were amazed at the authority of his word. He spoke as one with authority, and they were all amazed. They were amazed at the authority of his word, and then the Bible says they were amazed at the authority of his works. On this particular day, as Jesus was in the synagogue in Capernaum, there was a man there with an unclean spirit. There's no medical condition that explains what's about to happen. He is possessed by an unclean spirit. Had no business being in the synagogue. Any kind of uncleanness would prevent you from coming to the synagogue, but this man is in church on the day that Jesus was there. We don't know if he's ever been there before. Could be that he's a regular attender in the synagogue in Capernaum. Maybe he was a longtime member. Maybe he was a regular giver. But on this day, in the presence of the unholy could not keep quiet any longer. And the Bible says the demons cried out, literally shouted out, in the middle of Jesus' message, interrupting him. Now, I know many people today in our sophisticated society struggle with this idea of demon possession. I try to believe what Jesus believed. And the Bible tells us that on this particular day, Jesus came confronted by a demon, and he is there to not only confront him, but to exorcise this demon who was there, who had held this man captive. And the Bible says Jesus addressed the demon, not the man. Jesus addressed the demons who were possessing the man. Paul said, "We do not wrestle with flesh and blood, but against spiritual forces in heavenly places." So behind every evil, there is an evil force, and the Bible says Jesus came to destroy evil. And on this particular day, the demon spoke. Look how the demon speaks, interrupting the message of Jesus. And you note some unique things about particularly the pronouns the demon used. "What business do you have with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us?" Now, there's one demon who is speaking, because the last thing he says is, "I know who you are." But apparently, this particular demon is vocalizing a message for a multitude of demons who were possessing this man. So one spoke for all, but there were many who were there. So now this demon-possessed man is confronted by the Holy One of God. Now, to be sure, the frequency of demon possession was heightened during the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ. Other than King Saul in the Old Testament, we really have no evidence of demonic possession in the Old Testament, and very little after the Gospels. But somehow, during the ministry of Jesus, they could no longer be silent. They were called out of dark places, and the message and the holiness and the power and the authority of Jesus now contests the demons and frightens them from their silence. Jesus has already confronted Satan in the wilderness, and now Jesus confronts the demons at church. They knew his coming was a threat to their kingdom. The odd thing is, the demons seem to be the only ones who actually know who Jesus actually is. Religious leaders denied it. The disciples weren't really sure, but the demons knew. I know who you are. And somehow in that confrontation, right before Jesus shut them up, they vocalized what everybody else needed to know that the demons already knew. It's a fascinating story in Acts chapter 19. God had been using Paul to do miraculous things, even cast out demons. And so there were seven brothers. The Bible introduces them as the seven brothers of Sceva, the sons of Sceva. And they decided to assume the authority of Paul and the message of Jesus and cast out demons. So they found a demon-possessed man, and they said to him, "In the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, I command you to come out." And the demon spoke and said, "Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. Who are you?" And the demon came out of the man and attacked those seven brothers, and they fled in fear because they were assuming authority they did not have. But on this day, when Jesus is there in the synagogue, the demons are threatened by his authority. "We know who you are." The demons were terrified by Jesus' message, something by what he is saying, something by what he is teaching. "What business do you have with us?" Jesus had not been addressing them, but all of a sudden in the message that Jesus was teaching, they knew that there was an invasion of their kingdom that was underway. They were threatened. They were frightened by his teaching. They were frightened by his judgment. "Have you come to destroy us?" Now, I want you to note something here. Demons don't know the future. They know they're going to be destroyed, but they don't know when. And so they said to Jesus, "Have you come to destroy us? Is this the time? Is this the end?" And so they recognize not only are they defeated, but they're defeated by this one who has authority and the power to do what he says. So they're frightened by his teaching, they're frightened by his judgment, and they are terrified by his purity. "I know who you are. You're the Holy One of God." And there's this confrontation between the clean and the unclean, the holy and the unholy. Jesus responded with two commands. One, they had no choice but to respond. The other, they were compelled. Jesus said, "Be quiet." Now, our English doesn't really do justice to what Jesus really said. What he is conveying is not just the command to stop speaking. He is saying to them, from this point forward, you are no longer able to speak. It's the word that is typically used with reference to a muzzle that you would put on an animal, rendering the animal incapable of making noise, incapable of speaking. So now Jesus is not just saying, "Will you please stop speaking?" He's not inviting them to voluntarily stop talking. What he is saying is, "You stop." It's the same word Jesus used on the Sea of Galilee out on the boat when the waves were crashing in and the sea was filled with the storm. And Jesus stood up in the boat and rebuked the wind and said, "Be silent." And the winds and the waves obeyed him. And so do the demons. "Be quiet and come out." And even in that moment when Jesus rebuked them and instructed them to be silent, rendering them incapable of speaking any further, the second one, he said, come out. And when Jesus spoke that, the demons obeyed. They were reluctant, as you see in the text, but they were compelled by the authority of the one who said it. Write this down. Jesus has authority over Satan. Jesus and Satan are not equals. Satan is not the polar opposite of Jesus. He's probably not afraid of you or me. But all of hell trembles at the authority of Jesus Christ. Listen, today, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, the devil can oppress you, but he cannot possess you, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. The Bible tells us that all of hell trembles at this one who has all authority. The people were amazed again. You see in verse 27, it's a different word. They were amazed. They were shocked. They were bewildered. They were taken back. They were amazed. And so they began to muse among themselves. What is this? We've just seen something we've never seen before. It's a new kind of teaching with authority. A new kind of teaching that commands response. And their tongues are not silent. They began to speak the message that they've heard, and now news began to spread throughout the region of Galilee, and the echo of his authority reverberated around the region as now everyone began to hear a message that was spread by those who saw something they have never seen before. Evil cowers in the presence of the one who has all authority. The enemy is real, he is powerful, but he is defeated. Long before Good Friday or Easter Sunday morning, Jesus came to declare that the enemy has no power over him. They were amazed at the content of his word. They were amazed at the power of his word. And here's what you and I need to take from this passage of Scripture. Jesus has authority in his word. The very word that Jesus declares is the word that you and I need to hear. There's authority in his word because he said it. You and I trust his word because he said it. He not only speaks a word, but he speaks a word that is absolute and final truth. And when you and I stand to preach or teach the Bible, we are not speaking our words. We are merely retelling his words. Jesus has authority in his words. Number two, Jesus has authority through his judgment. The Bible tells us that there will come a day when we will all stand before him. And he will render judgment according to all that the Bible teaches us and all that you and I have done. He is the ultimate and final judge. We submit to his authority. He has authority to judge what is right and wrong, and it's right and wrong because he said it. His judgment is final. He has authority through his judgment. Number three, he has authority by his power. The one who can do all things, the one who has all power, he can do what he said he will do. He has authority to change lives. He has authority to speak truth. He has authority to carry out everything he said he will do. And we find in this moment Jesus setting a man free, possessed by what seems to be multiple demons. And you realize, if Jesus can do that in that man's life, then there's nothing in your life Jesus cannot do. He has authority because of his power. Nothing in you is too far for God to fix. You've not gone so far, God cannot get you out. He has authority in his word through his judgment by his power, and he has authority of his nature. Note what the demon said of him, you are the Holy One of God. He's holy. He's perfect. He's sovereign. He's Lord. He's mightier. And in this moment, the greatest, most powerful forces that existed on earth to that moment cower in the presence of this one who is mightier. It's true because he said it. The Bible tells us he has authority, not just because of what he said, but because of who he is. He is the one who has the last word on everything. And when Jesus spoke, the demon said, "Yes, sir." There's no argument. There's no arm wrestling match. There's no negotiation. It's very clear Jesus was in charge. But I want you to notice the passage is not just an affirmation of his authority. It is a call for you and me to submit. We submit to the authority of his word. The word is true, the word is right, because he said it. All right. We submit to the authority of his judgment. What he says is right is right. What he says is wrong is wrong. It doesn't really matter if you and I don't agree with what he said is right or wrong. He's the one with authority to say it. And so we submit to the authority of his judgment. We submit to the authority of his power. The one who has all power. We submit to the authority of his nature. The people in Capernaum were amazed, but I'm not sure they really got it. Matthew tells us a story in Matthew chapter 11 as Jesus was speaking, and he was referencing the people of Capernaum. Here's what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, verse 23. "And you, Capernaum, will not be exalted to heaven, will you? You will be brought down to Hades. For if the miracles that occurred in you had occurred in Sodom, it would have remained to this day. Nevertheless, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom on the day of judgment than for you." Jesus was saying to Capernaum, you were not listening. You did not understand on that day when I spoke. You were not paying attention to the authority of my word. You heard what he said. You were even amazed by what he said, but you were not changed. They were shocked. They were impressed. But they were unchanged. It would be easy to be impressed by Jesus. It's something different to submit to him. Jesus did not do miracles to show off. He did miracles to support the message. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 38, "If you don't believe me, believe the works that I do, because they testify of everything that I said." And now Jesus shows up on the shores of the sea in the synagogue of the town, and Jesus has a message with authority that unclean spirits can no longer stand in the presence of. And when Jesus speaks in your life, the same is true for you and me. His authority confronts our sin. It challenges our mind. It calls for us to surrender. You can resist it. You can delay it. You can even deny it, but you cannot be neutral to it. Jesus is not just trying to impress you, and he is not trying to compel you. In many ways, his authority is still a new kind of authority, a new kind of teaching, a new kind of living. He wants you to know what the demons already knew. He is the Holy One of God. See, amazement with God is one thing, but submission is altogether something else. Right before Jesus ascended into heaven to sit forever at the right hand of the throne of God, Jesus declared to his disciples and to all who were there, "All authority in heaven and on earth is given to me." Demons flee because he said it. History moves because he said it. His word is right because he said it. Creation began because he said it. Seasons change because he said it. Stars shine because he said it. Planets rotate because he said it. You and I have breath today because he said it, and we'll have breath again tomorrow if he says it again. It's not random. It's not coincidence. It's not evolution. It's because he said it. And one day every eye will see and every knee will bow down before him. His desire is not just for you to be impressed by him. His desire is for you to submit to him because he said so.